نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد
only listening to speaker does not bring any revolutionary change in our lives. Nowadays, it has become a norm that people look for fancy speakers. Before inviting a speaker in their local masjid, people go onto the YouTube to shop for speakers. And the only thing they know about the speaker is that he sounds very good. The management of the masjid, the chairman of the masjid, the secretary of the masjid, or those a few individuals who have been appointed to look for a speaker for a particular program, none ulama, not familiar with the ilm at all, they go on to the YouTube, they will listen to this speaker, that speaker, this speaker, that speaker, they will shortlist the speakers. And what is the criteria? He sounds good. He's attractive. He's not boring. That should not be the criteria, because lectures are not for entertainment. Lectures are for education and to bring about a change in people's lives. So one should always look for a speaker who is of sound aqaid, sound belief, whose ideology is perfect according to the ideology of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And he is a recognized personality by not the masses, by the luminaries of the time, and who is also God-fearing and a godly person, in whose company you remember Allah more and the worldly objectives less. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once asked by the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, man nujalis, with whom should we sit? We are hearing over and over again that we must adopt good company. We must adopt good company. So how do we know whether the company we are in is good or bad from the Islamic perspective? So the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmeen asked Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, man nujalis, who should be our companion? With whom should we sit? With whom should we spend our time? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned three signs. If you find these three signs in a person, that is pious company. That is the person you should sit with. Number one, one who reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One who reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One whose company reminds you more of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than anything else besides you. The person in whose company you experience the yearning to acquire the close proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In whose company you experience the yearning to acquire the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our condition is that when we are on our own or when we are with our friends, we think more about objects, individuals other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Idhar dekha, udhar dekha. Ise dekha, use dekha. Idhar dekha, udhar dekha. You have looked towards your right, you have looked towards your left, you have looked behind you, you have looked in front of you, you have looked above you, you have looked below, here and there. Idhar dekha, udhar dekha. You have looked here and there. Use dekha, ise dekha. You have seen him and this person and that person. So basically, the poet is trying to say, you have seen everything. You have seen all around you and you have seen everything. You have seen the shopping center, you have seen the mall, you have seen Victoria Falls, you have seen Taj Mahal, you have seen Big Ben, CN Tower in Toronto, Eiffel Tower in Paris. We have people sitting here from all these places. Idhar dekha, udhar dekha, ise dekha, use dekha. Na dekha yaar ko aghyaar mein. Na dekha yaar ko. Yaar means friend. And aghyaar means things and people besides yaar, besides friend. So yaar is Allah. And aghyaar, everything besides Allah. So you have seen everything, but you were unable to see yaar amongst the aghyaar. Allah. You have seen the moon and you have reached the moon. You have seen everything. The only thing you are unable to see is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See means you are unable to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by looking at the creation. Inna fi khalqi as-samawati wal-ard wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan-nahar la ayatin li ulil albab. In the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the coming of the night and day after each other. The night comes after the day, and the day comes after the night. وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَرِ لَآيَاتِ are indeed signs لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ for the people of intellect. And who are the people of intellect? Who ponder over the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as a result of this pondering and this contemplation, they recognize the Creator, and after recognizing the Creator, they remember the Creator. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. They contemplate, they ponder, they think deep. and study the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the 1st of January, if the sun sets up at 4 p.m., it has been setting at 4 p.m. since its creation, and it will continue to set at 4 p.m. on the 1st of January until the day of Qiyamah. Without the Creator, how can the sun be so precise? Even modern technology is not so precise. So how can this sun be so precise? Never a second early, never a second late. Throughout the year, from 1st of January to 31st of December, the time is set for the sun to rise and to set. There are so many signs. So many signs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted each human the faculty of intellect to understand these signs. And as a result of this understanding, recognize the Creator. Allah has given each and every person the faculty of intellect. But if a person does not use his faculty of intellect, it is his fault. For example, I am not a mathematician. I am not a scientist. I am not a doctor. But that does not mean I am not clever enough to become a doctor. It's possible I am not clever enough, and it's possible I am clever enough. I was clever enough, but I didn't use my intellect in that field. So I have not become a doctor. So Allah has given each and every person the intellect to ponder in his creation and recognize the Creator. If a person is unable to recognize the Creator, it is because he is not using his intellect in the right direction. So in the Quran, Allah says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. He mentions a certain sign. He says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ, in it, are signs. In it are signs. لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ, for those people who have intellect. So does that mean that those people who do not recognize and accept the Creator, they don't have intellect? They are great scientists. So the meaning of this verse is, in it are signs for those people who do not use, who use their intellect. In Urdu, the translation will be, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. اس میں نشانیاں ہیں ان لوگوں کے لئے جو عقل رکھتے ہیں, نہیں, جو عقل سے کام لیتے ہیں. ورنہ بہت بڑا اشکال پیدا ہو جائے گا. یہ عقل نہیں ہے تو پی ایش ڈی کیسے بنے؟ عقل اللہ نے دی تھی, استعمال نہیں کی جہاں استعمال کرنی چاہیے تھی. اسے دیکھا اسے دیکھا, ادھر دیکھا ادھر دیکھا, اسے دیکھا اسے دیکھا. آئی سو ایوری تھنگ. ایوری تھنگ از اغیار, غیر. دا پلورل آف غیر از اغیار. غیر از سم اینی تھنگ بسائڈ دی آبجیکٹ دیٹ یو آر ڈیزائرنگ. سو ہیئر دا آبجیکٹ از اللہ. یو ڈیزائر اللہ, سو غیر اللہ. Anything besides Allah. Ise dekha, use dekha. I saw him and I saw him. I saw this person, I saw that person. I saw everybody. Idhar dekha, udhar dekha. I saw all directions, everything. So I observed all the aghiyar, and I spent all my life observing aghiyar, talking about aghiyar, thinking about aghiyar, and acquiring a yar. Yar yar rahe ya rab tu mera, Hazrat Sahib Rahmatullah says, Yaar rahe, Yaar Rab tu mera. O Rab, it is my desire that you remain, you become my friend and you remain my friend. Yaar rahe, Yaar Rab tu mera. Yaar rahe, Yaar Rab tu mera. Aur main tera yaar rahun. Yaar rahe, Yaar Rab tu mera. O my Rab, it is my desire that you become my friend and you remain my friend. Yaar rahe, Yaar Rab tu mera. Aur main tera yaar rahun. And it is also my desire that I become your friend and I remain your friend. Yaad mein teri sabko bhula dun. Yaad mein teri sabko bhula dun. Koi na mujhko yaad rahe. Yaad mein teri sabko bhula dun. In remembering you, it is my desire that I forget everybody. Koi na mujhko yaad rahe. It is my desire that I remember nobody. Wallahi ma tala'at shamsun wala gharabat illa wa anta fi qalbi wa waswasi. Wallahi ma tala'at shamsun wala gharabat illa wa anta fi qalbi wa waswasi. Dhikruka fi fami wa khiyaluka fi aini wa mathwaka fi qalbi fa aina taghyib. The poet is a very, very pious person. And he is in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he cannot see Allah. We cannot see Allah in this world. We can only recognize Allah through the creation. So the poet is saying to Allah that you are hiding from me. How can you hide from me? You cannot hide from me. Why? Dhikruka fi fami. Because you are on my tongue. I always talk about you. وَخِيَالُكَ فِي أَيْنِ. You are always in my mind. وَمَثْوَاكَ فِي قَلْبِ. And your abode is my heart. Because as a result of tazkiya, my heart has been enlightened with your remembrance. So the poet is saying, I'm searching for you, you are hiding away from me. How can you hide from me? You are on my tongue, I always talk about you. You are in my mind, I always think about you. And you are in my heart. Your abode is my heart. Fine, Atagivo. Where will you hide? My young friends, make this your objective. Make this your objective. Love for Allah. Once the heart is enlightened with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the salat will be different. The salat that we are performing now, without the love for Allah, we have love for Allah. Every mu'min has love for Allah. But the love is very, very mild. Very mild. Very mild. That is why when we make dhikr, we don't enjoy, because the love is very mild. Love is like chili. Somebody who likes a lot of chili in his curry, if you give him mild curry, he will not enjoy. He will say more sauce, chili sauce. So the love is very mild, and because love is very mild, we don't enjoy zikr so much. We don't enjoy salat so much. We don't enjoy ibadat so much. Because we are hungry, even though the curry is very mild, as far as chili is concerned, we somehow eat. So even though the enjoyment is not there in ibadat, because we are hungry. Hungry for what? Hungry for Jannat. Hungry to abstain from the, to stay away from the punishment of Allah. So somehow we, without any enjoyment. Make this your objective. Every young person sitting here should make this firm resolution that from today, my all energy will go towards acquiring the love for Allah. Love for Allah. And striving to acquire the love for Allah will not prevent you from eating or drinking or sleeping. No. Once the love for Allah is acquired, the food will become even more sweeter. So the sleep will become even more sweeter. Because now you are eating to satisfy your nafs. Afterwards you will eat to satisfy Allah's pleasure. To bring Allah's pleasure. Because my Allah has asked me to look after this body. This is food from my Allah. That's why I am eating. I am enjoying every morsel of it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sit very respectfully when eating. Not in haughtiness and arrogance like we do, chair and table. No, very, very. Why? This is a risk from my Creator. Ana akulu kama yakulu al-abd. I eat like a slave. I eat like a slave eats. Not of respect. Because the thought was, this is a gift from my Creator. And once that thought is created, that this is a gift from my Creator. Gift from my Creator. If we revere somebody very much, a sheikh or an alim, if he was to give us a morsel of something that we normally don't eat, we would definitely eat that morsel because of the reverence we have. What is his status in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Once this thought process changes, that this is from Allah, this is a gift from Allah. Dal and biryani will be same. Love for Allah. Muhabbat, 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 muhabbat. Muhabbat, love, love, love. For whom? For Allah. Muhabbat ilahiyya. Muhabbat, 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 muhabbat. Why am I repeating the word muhabbat, 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 muhabbat? The poet says, muhabbat, 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 muhabbat. Bada lutf deta hai, lafze muhabbat. The poet is saying that even uttering the word muhabbat brings lot of joy. Uttering the word muhabbat brings lot of joy. So what if we really fall in love with somebody? We love in, fall in love with somebody. A human. And then we fall in love with somebody who is very pious. Imagine the sweetness of that love. And then we fall in love with a sahabi. Then we fall in love with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabia Bisriya rahimahullahu ta'ala, rahimahullahu ta'ala, was one of these, one such individual who had a lot of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one day she came out of her house in hijab, niqab. She was a very pious personality. In one hand, she had fire, utensil, bucket, fire. In another hand, water. And she started walking in the streets of Basra. So people started informing each other, Rabia Bisriya is walking in the streets of Basra in a very emotional state. And in one hand she is carrying water, in the other hand she is carrying fire. So she attracted the attention of everybody. Somebody asked, what is happening, O Rabia? So she said, I pondered over the people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I reached this conclusion that people are either worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to acquire Jannah or to save themselves from the fire of Jahannam. These are the only two objectives. Some are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of fear of Jahannam. They are not interested in Jannah. If there is no life after death, alhamdulillah, they would be happy. They don't want Jannah, but they fear Jahannam. And there is another group who want to acquire Jannah. They fear Jahannam also, but one step further, they want Jannah. They want to enjoy Jannah. I am going to burn Jannah with this fire. She said, I am going to burn Jannah with this fire. And I am going to extinguish Jahannam with this water. So Jannah will not remain, Jahannam will not remain. After that, the worshippers will have only one choice. To worship Allah for His pleasure. To worship Allah for His love. والله ما طلعت شمس ولا غرب الا وانت في قلبي وبصري. The sun does not set and the sun does not rise, but whilst you are in my mind and thoughts, you are always in my mind, in my thoughts. During the 24 hours, I think about you all the time. And a person is able to do two things at the same time. So many people do two things at the same time. The waiter is carrying the tray and is looking here and there and talking to people. So after a lot of exercise, he is able to do that. We all drive the car, and whilst driving the car, we talk to people as well. The attention is there and at the back. We are driving the car and listening to the radio, listening to the tape. The attention can be in two places. So my mind is always with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether I am talking to people, whether I am reading a book, whether I am eating, whether I am walking in the street, whether I am in the town center, thought is always with Allah. Why? Because I have embedded the love and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my heart. Wallahi ma tala'at shamsun wala gharabat illa wa anta fi qalbi wa waswasi wala jalastu ila qawmin uhadithuhum illa wa anta hadithi bayna jullasi. And whenever I sit with friends to talk, the only thing I talk about is you, because I love you. Man ahabba shay'an aksara zikrahu. When a person loves something, that person will always talk about that thing. Somewhere in the conversation, he will bring that topic. It's nature, human nature, that when you love something, you like to talk about it. Yaar, yaar rahe ya, rab tu mera, aur main tera yaar rahu, yaad mein teri sab ko bhula du, koi na mujhko yaad rahe.
Allahu Akbar
Kabira. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullahi Alayhi, a very pious personality, used to say, Ilahi main hoon bas khata waar tera, mujhe bakhsh hai naam ghaffar tera. Ilahi, O my Ilah, O my Ma'bud, O my Allah, main hoon bas khata waar tera. I am guilty in your court because I have disobeyed you. Mujhe baksh, forgive me. Mujhe baksh hai naam ghaffar tera. Your name is the most forgiver. You are ghaffar. And further he says, koi tujhse kuch, koi kuch mangta hai. Ilahi main tujhse talabgar tera. Every individual is asking from you. This person is asking for something, that person is asking for something, that person is asking for something. They are all asking for different items. All I want from you is you. Koi tujhse kuch, koi kuch mangta hai, ilahi main tujhse talabgar tera. I want you and I want you to make me yours. Tera ho jaun. Itni arzu hai. My only desire is that I become yours. You accept me as yours. You say to the angels that this is my servant. You include me from amongst Ibadur Rahman. Tera ho jaun, itni arzu hai. Bas itni hai tamanna. This is my only wish. Bas itni hai. This is my only wish. Dil badal de, change my heart. In my heart. Allah, Allah. So we still need to complete that other couplet. इधर देखा उधर देखा इसे देखा उसे देखा आई सो एवरीथिंग आई सो ऑल द अगियार एवरीथिंग बिसाइड्स अल्लाह द ओनली थिंग आई डिड नॉट सी इज द यार न देखा यार को अगियार में आई सो एवरीथिंग यू सो एवरीथिंग नाउ द पोएट इज आस्किंग अ क्वेश्चन आफ्टर मेकिंग दिस स्टेटमेंट कि यू सो एवरीथिंग एक्सेप्ट अल्लाह देखा तो क्या देखा You saw everything but Allah, what have you seen? If you have seen everything except Allah, then what have you seen? You've seen nothing. It's like somebody going to Agra all the way from the UK, and when he comes back, he says, I saw this and I saw that and I went here and I went there. And you say, did you see Taj Mahal? He says, no, I did not see Taj Mahal. So you will say, dekha to kya dekha? You saw everything but Taj Mahal. In Agra, you went to Agra and you saw only Taj Mahal, everything but Taj Mahal. Here we are talking about Allah that you have seen and recognized everything. You did not recognize Allah. Dekha to kya dekha? I am 55. There are some younger than me, there are some older than me. If we have not been able to recognize Allah, if we have not been able to enlighten our hearts with His love, If we have not been able to adorn our hearts with His remembrance, then what have we achieved? What have we achieved? Let us, my friends, for once recognize our shortcoming. Recognize our guilt. That our deen has been a tick box only until now. Tick box. Alhamdulillah, I am performing salat. Alhamdulillah, I go for umrah. Everybody has set certain things for himself to satisfy himself. That Alhamdulillah, I am also religious. Some people go for umrah every year. Some people go for hajj every year. Some people perform 5 times salat regularly. Some people go in the path of Allah. Some people go to see their sheikh every month. And because the masses, majority of whom are not so religious, they see us as religious, we also misunderstand ourselves. And we also begin to feel that yes, I am religious. Because everybody is saying, Maulana, Hazrat, everybody is saying, please make dua for me. Please make dua. Because he is better than us. That at least he recognizes his shortcoming. That I am inferior to this person and this person is better. We are more worse than that person. Because we are not 100% Muslim or mu'min. And we see ourselves as superior to so many other people. If I am not a Maulana, and if everybody says Maulana, 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 should I begin to assume that I could be Maulana? That's why everybody is saying Maulana. If I am not a doctor and everybody says Dr. Salim, Dr. Salim, Dr. Salim, should I begin to assume? Because everybody is saying, I could be a doctor, or I may be a doctor. That's what happens. Because we never ponder upon our religious situation. From today we need to understand this aspect of deen also. This very important aspect of deen. The deen has two parts. One is the external and one is the internal. The external is to do with the body. Qiyam, ruku, sajda. The internal is the concentration with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sincerity of intention, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let me conclude now with the hadith. Man nujalis. With whom should we sit, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should sit with those people who remind you of Allah, whose company makes you forget aghiyar,
and whose company reminds you of Yar.
Maybe little bit in the initial stages. In the initial stages, during the lecture or when we are sitting in his majlis, the thought of Allah will come frequently. Maybe sometimes less, but more than outside when we are not in his company. And slowly, slowly, slowly this will increase. And a time will come when throughout the gathering we will remember Allah only. When we are sitting with him, whether he is speaking or not, he will remind us of Allah. But when we walk away from the masjid, we will become neglectful again. But if we continue coming, the noor of remembrance will increase. And even when we leave his gathering, we will remember Allah. That is sign number one of good company. Sign number two. That person in whose company you always learn something new. Whenever you go in his gathering, you will always come back with something new. Always come back with something new, some new knowledge, some new understanding of this. And number three, in whose company the love for the world decreases and the love for the akhirah increases. This is good company. These are the types of people we need to sit with. In some we will find these three things less, in some more. Musa ibn Abi Aisha rahimahullah ta'ala. Musa ibn Abi Aisha rahimahullah ta'ala. If I can remember correctly, he is the student of Sayyid ibn Jubair rahimahullah ta'ala. Musa ibn Abi Aisha, great muhaddith. We find his name in the chains of narrations of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Musa ibn Abi Aisha. His student was Abu Awana rahimahullah ta'ala. If I can remember correctly. The very first hadith in Bukhari Sharif that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi narrates of Musa ibn Abi Aisha, his student Abu Awana narrates from him. And Musa ibn Abi Aisha had another student. His name was Jarir. Jarir. So Jarir says regarding Musa ibn Abi Aisha, Kunto idha raitu Musa. Jarir says regarding Musa ibn Abi Aisha, Kunto idha raitu Musa. Whenever I observed the face of Musa, Kunto idha raitu Musa. ذَكَرْتُ اللَّهَ لِرُؤْيَتِهِ. As a result of observing him, my thought always used to go towards Allah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, who are the pious people? إِذَا رُؤُوا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ. Whenever you see them, they remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because they work so hard and they enlighten their hearts with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then that remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from their hearts slowly, slowly, slowly penetrates into the whole body, including the face. So whenever you see any part of them, or whenever you see any action of theirs, or whenever you talk about them centuries after they have passed away, your thought will immediately go towards Allah. Today, as soon as you say Imam Bukhari, nothing after that. You have just started Imam Bukhari. The name Imam Bukhari will disconnect you from all the worldly things and worldly activities, and your mind will focus towards the hereafter. Whether it's qabr, whether it's ilm, whether it's the hereafter,
Because from head to toe, their bodies were absorbed in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for this reason, when the graves of such people are opened after 200 years, 300 years, 400 years, their bodies remain intact. Because each and every part of the body was in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recently, about 50, 60 years ago, maybe less, maybe little bit more, in Pakistan, there was a very great Sheikh, Maulana Abdullah Behlavi Rahimahullah Ta'ala. As a result of monsoon rain, his grave opened. A decade after he passed away. And his coffin was as new as the day he was buried. And those people who witnessed this incident may be alive today as well in Pakistan. So let us always adopt good company. Sit in good company. Sit with those people who remind us of the hereafter. Sit with those people who worry more about our hereafter than our worldly life. If a student comes from Pakistan or from India or from Africa, from any other country into the UK to study in a university for 4 years, and he has two friends. One friend is continually worried about his well-being after he returns to his country, and the other is concerned about only his staying for 4 years in the UK. Which one is his preference? The one who is concerned about 4 years only, or the one who is concerned about his whole life in Pakistan? So we have a friend who is worried about our worldly matters, but not our ukhrawi matters. And we have another person who is worried about our ukhrawi matters, but not our worldly matters. In Majalisi Abrar, there is a statement that the true friend of a person is he who strives for his akhirah, even though there is harm for his world. For example, please give zakat. If he takes out zakat, it will be harm for his world. The logic says that from 200 pounds, if he gives away 5 pounds, he will be left with 195 pounds. But no, he strives. This is the true friend. And who is the enemy of a person? In Majalisi Abrar, it is stated that the enemy of a person is that person who strives for his worldly comforts, even though there is harm for his akhirat. Let's go cinema. Oh, you are going for salat. Perform it later. Come with me. So he is striving for his worldly comforts and harming his akhirat. So alhamdulillah, we have made some good resolutions this morning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. And I always tell each and every person, we are all in the same boat. If we see somebody and if we feel that he is better than me, that is a sign that we are progressing. And if we look at somebody and if we feel that he is inferior to me, I am an alim, I am a sheikh, I am this, I am that, that is a sign that we are not progressing, we are digressing. We are going in the wrong direction. We are on the M1 thinking that I am driving towards London, but in reality we are driving towards Dewsbury. The car is moving fast, but it is in the wrong direction. So ibadat is there, lecture is there, striving is there, tahajjud is there, mujahada is there, everything is there, but it is in the wrong direction. That's why the person is feeling this way. that he is inferior to me, he is inferior to me, he is inferior to me, I am better than him, I am better than him, I am better than him. So there may be brothers in this gathering who are thinking like this, that whatever I am hearing sounds very nice, and I wish I could also become one of these people who can experience the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this intensifying love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I wish I could also. But I am a very sinful person. I am a very sinful. This humbleness in itself is a very good starter. This humbleness, accepting that I am not a good person, I am guilty as far as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, as far as my Khaliq and my... This is a very good starting point. It is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. But shaitan will whisper and say, no, you can't, this is not for you. Believe me, I am fasting, alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan, sitting in the masjid, in i'tikaf, with dozens of people in front of me during this Mubarak time after Fajr Salat, before sunrise, and with so many ulama, so many students, teachers of hadith and tafsir here, muftis here. I am telling you, each and every person, that we are all equal as far as the ability to become the beloved of Allah and the ability to become the lover of Allah is concerned. We are all equal. Allah has granted me and you the same ability to acquire the love of Allah that He had given to Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani and Shaykh Junaid Baghdadi. The only difference is they recognize this, that I have the ability. And after recognizing, they did what they had to do. And we are either not recognizing that I have the ability, or we have recognized, but we are not exerting the effort. We are not taking that first step. Or we have taken a few steps, 2 steps forward, 10 steps backward. 10 steps forward, 3 steps backward. There are awliya in this day and age also. Awliya. And when a child takes admission in the madrasa, nobody tells the child to start reading the Quran. So nobody is going to tell you start reciting Kalima Tayyiba 4,000 times every day, 10,000 times every day. No, start slowly. Find a good sheikh who will be able to guide you slowly, 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 who is professional. That's why we need a sheikh. Because we are new. So when the child goes to the madrasa, the teacher starts off with alif, ba, ta. Tomorrow you learn alif, ba, ta only. Alif, ba, ta. Sa, jim, ha. That's the second day's lesson. And sometimes if the child is unable to pick that up as well, it takes a week or 1 month to learn alif, ba, ta, sa. Slowly, 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 slowly. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah in our determination. Allah will put barakah in our time also. Allah will put barakah in our time also. Before we were unable to recite a whole juz of the Quran in half an hour. Now we are reciting 5 juz in half an hour. And with tajweed. Allah will put barakah. Allah will put barakah. Allah puts barakah. We are living in the same world where Mufti Taqi Usmani lives. Hafizahullah ta'ala. The same sun is shining upon us. The same moon is shining upon us. He's not far away from us, only 10 hours flight. Same world. Busy world, busy world, busy life, busy life. He's in Karachi, we are in Leicester. That he is able to accomplish much, much, much more than we are able to accomplish. So where does he get the time from? His day consists of 24 hours. My day consists of 24 hours.
But every now and then we hear that he has compiled this book. He has compiled this book. He has completed this work. Where does he get time from? Allah puts barakah in the time of people when they commit themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat ji Maulana Inam Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to daily. Slowly he progressed. That in his final stages, during the time of Hazrat ji Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat ji Maulana Inam Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, only the dhikr Allah, 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 all the other askar, tilawat of the Quran, his da'wah and tablighi activities, because he was very active, even during the time of Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah, he had to do so many things. Only Allah, 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 daily, how many times? 70,000 times. 70,000 times, 70,000 times. His sheikh was Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala. Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala was the sheikh of Hazrat Ji Maulana Yusuf Sahib and Hazrat Ji Maulana Inam Sahib. Both of them were murid of Hazrat Ji Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahimahullah. And he, in the spiritual aspect, he trained them. Daily 70,000 times. Hazrat Ji himself says that after the Fajr Salat, I would remain at the Markaz Nizamuddin and engage myself in the tablighi activities. And when the collective activities used to be over, I used to leave the Markaz Nizamuddin and go where Humayun is buried. Humayun was at one time the king of India. He was a Mughal king. So where he is buried, he said, the place is very quiet and I used to find complete solitude there. And I would engage myself in zikr, and part of the zikr was 70,000 isme zat, Allah, Allah. And I would return before Zohar. And those of you who have observed Maulana Inam Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi will agree with me. Those of you who have observed Maulana Inam Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi would agree with me that whenever he would enter the tent where he is to lecture, or the masjid, or the room where he is to lecture, the whole masjid, the whole tent full of thousands of people used to glow. Only upon his entry it used to glow. Why? Because his heart was full of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the whole body absorbed that zikr. So, it was like a bulb. Wherever he went, there was noor. Wherever he went, there was noor. Same with Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi. Whenever he used to enter, the whole place used to glow. The feeling we used to get was, I can still remember both mashayikh, I had the fortune of observing them. The feeling that we used to get was that it was cloudy and the sun was hiding behind the cloud, and suddenly the cloud has gone away and the sun is shining now. We are not familiar with how our akabir have progressed so much. Two zikr is three tasbih in the morning, three tasbih in the evening. This is the alphabets of zikr. Three tasbih in the morning, three tasbih in the evening, it is the alphabets of zikr. So I am asking you, for how long have you been on this alphabet? And for how long do you intend to remain on this alphabet? The child that goes to the nursery school and the madrasa is better than us. That within 2-3 months the child begins to read the sentences of the Quran. And the child begins to read English also. Even the child is better than us. And we are still on the zikr alphabet. Shaykhul Hind, Maulana Mahmudul Hasan Sahib Deobandi Rahimahullah Ta'ala. Shaykhul Hind.
Shaykhul Hind, who was the student, Shaykhul Hind Rahimahullah Ta'ala, was the student of Maulana Qasim Nanodwi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Student of Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gunguhi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. He was the spiritual student of Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gunguhi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. And Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi took his initial spiritual training from Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gunguhi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. The older brother of Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, the father of Maulana Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana Yahya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he took his full spiritual training from Maulana Rashid Ahmad Ganguhi Rahmatullah Ali. And Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was much younger. He was in his teens. So he invited his brother to stay with him so that he could benefit from the company of this great Shaykh who was soon to depart from this world. Hazrat Ganguhi was in his final stages. So Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi derived benefit from Maulana Rashid Ahmad Ganguhi Rahmatullahi Alayhi as a result of his brother being very close, the father of Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Rahmatullahi Alayhi. And Maulana Zakariya Rahmatullahi Alayhi was very young. He says that I can still remember playing in the lap of Maulana Ganguhi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. After Maulana Shaykh Ganguhi Rahmatullahi Alayhi passed away, the father of Maulana Muhammad Yahya Sahib, the father of Maulana Zakariya, Maulana Muhammad Yahya, the brother of Maulana Ilyas, he had completed his spiritual training from Maulana Ganguhi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Shaykhul Hind Maulana Mahmud Rasan Deobandi also completed his spiritual training from Maulana Ganguhi Rahmatullah Ali. Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani, Shaykhul Islam, he also completed his spiritual training from Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani. And Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri, the great muhaddis, the author of the commentary of Abu Dawud Sharif, Badlul Majhud, he also completed his spiritual training from Maulana Shaykhul Ganguhi Rahmatullah Ali. But Maulana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was unable to complete. So in order to complete his spiritual aspect of his life, spiritual training, he now became murid of Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullahi. And he learned from him. And Shaykhul Hadith Rahimahullah Ta'ala, when he grew up, he also took spiritual training from Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullahi. And uncle and nephew both completed their spiritual training from Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullah. And Maulana Inam Sahib and Maulana Hazrati Maulana Isra, they completed their spiritual training from Maulana Hazrati Maulana Isra Rahmatullah. Hazrati Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah. So Shaykhul Hind I'm talking about. Shaykhul Hind, the one who completed his spiritual training from Maulana Ganguhi Rahmatullah. The father of Mufti Usmani, Maulana Muhammad Yasin Sahib Rahmatullah. I am quoting all authentic sources. It's not hearsay or fairy tales. Maulana Muhammad Yasin Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who was the student of Shaykhul Hind Maulana Mahmudul Hasan Deobandi Rahmatullah Ali, he says that we took lessons of Bukhari Sharif from Maulana Mahmudul Hasan Deobandi Rahmatullah Ali. And his heart was so much engaged in the zikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that whilst listening to his lecture on Bukhari Sharif, we would hear two things. From his tongue, the lecture of Bukhari Sharif, and from his heart, the sound of Allah, 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 continually throughout the lesson. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. So many incidents are coming to mind. These people strove. Let us also strive. Allah has granted us same abilities. We have to realize and recognize that yes, I do have ability, and then with full conviction determine and say, yes I can, and through the fadl of Allah I can, and through the fadl of Allah I will. And
exert all your energy towards acquiring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we will also experience the same sweetness in this world. This last incident, Maulana Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, was a very pious personality. Very pious, very, very, very pious personality. Uwais Qarni Rahimahullahu Ta'ala was very pious personality. He was a tabi. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that a person will come to perform Hajj from Yemen. He is not a Sahabi, but a person will come to perform Hajj from Yemen. And he will be from this clan, this tribe. His name will be this. And he said to Umar radiyallahu anhu, when you meet him, ask him to seek forgiveness for you from Allah. This was the position of Uwais Qarni rahimahullah. And just before the Fajr Salat, when I was sitting with the brothers who have come from abroad, I said that his method of tahajjud was very, very unique. He would try to imitate the malaika. Because we find in the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah has created the malaika. He has created thousands of malaika only for sajda. So from the time He has created the malaika, they are in sajda. Until today and until qiyam. Some He has created only for qiyam. Some only for ruku. Some only for tasbih. All they are doing is subhanallah, 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 subhanallah. Then different formulas of subhanallah, of tasbih. Some alhamdulillah, some Allahu Akbar. The one who is saying subhanallah will not say alhamdulillah, because they only do that which Allah has instructed them to do. They are programmed. They don't have inclinations like we do, the humans, good and bad. They are programmed. Whatever they are told, they do. لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. Hundreds of thousands of years, millions of years, sajda, the one in sajda will remain in sajda. And in, they are also hundreds of thousands of malaika in sujood. In, Allah is not in need of our ibadat. We are in need of our ibadat. On the day of Qiyamah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will order them to abandon their ibadah. Everybody stop. And Allah will order them to present themselves in front of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will all stand in their millions and billions and trillions, who had been worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for millions and billions of years. And they will say with one voice, Ma abadnaka haqqa ibadatik. O Allah, we have not been able to worship you as you were worthy of worship. So Uwais Qarni rahimahullah ta'ala would daily, after Isha, immediately, or he may sleep for a while and get up. Majority part of the night, on the first night he would say, Hadihi Laylatul Qiyam. Tonight is the night of Qiyam. And he would say, Allahu Akbar. And he would recite Surah Fatiha. Begin reciting the Quran, and he will continue reciting, reciting, reciting until dawn. Whole night in Qiyam, just one rakat. And just before dawn, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes before dawn, he will quickly make ruku. Quickly means according to sunnah. And he will complete his first rakat, he will complete his second rakat, another two rakat, four rakats, eight rakats. He will make dua. And the second night he will say, Hadihi Laylatul Ruku. And he will begin his salat after Surah Fatiha, very short surah. And he will go into ruku, and throughout the night he will remain in ruku. The third night he will say, Hadihi Laylatul Sujood. Surah Fatiha, short surah, short ruku, short qawma, in sajda, and in that first sajda he will remain until dawn again. And imitating the malaika, imitating the malaika after every long salah, this long ruku and all, after completing his salah, he will raise his hands and he will say, Ya Rab, ma abadtuka haqqa ibadatik. I have not been able to worship you as you are worthy of worship. Where did this energy come from? When you love something, then it becomes very easy. There are brothers standing for the past 1 hour. From 6 o'clock they are awake. From 6 o'clock in the evening they are awake. And we have always been busy, they have been busy as well. But they are standing and listening. Why? Because they love and they enjoy. There are people who stand in the football stadium for 90 minutes. Nothing happens to them. Why? Because they are enjoying. And if you tell that same person in the classroom, if the teacher says that stand up, in 10 minutes he will get tired because he is not enjoying. There is no love. Where there is love, you enjoy. You enjoy every bit of it. O.S. Karni rahimahullah ta'ala. I wanted to mention Maulana Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi. And this O.S. Karni rahimahullah ta'ala tabi. O.S. Karni rahimahullah ta'ala. He did not do this once in a while. Throughout his life. The fourth day he will say, Hazihi Laylatul Qiyam. Fifth day he will say, Hazihi Laylatul Ruku. Sixth day he will say, Hazihi Laylatul Sujud. And comes the seventh day, he will say, Hadihi Laylatul Qiyam. Laylatul Qiyam, Laylatul Ruku, Laylatul Sujud, Laylatul Qiyam, Laylatul Ruku, Laylatul Sujud. Daily. And daily he would say, Ya Rab, ma'abattuka haqqa ibadatik. So, Maulana Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi rahmatullahi alayhi was so pious and such a great zahid, and who used to engross himself in so much ibadat, that people gave him the title of Owais-e Zamana. This is the Owais Karni of our time. Maulana Fazlur Rahman, Owais Karni of our time. He would also perform very long sujood. So one Owais is 1400 years ago, and the other Owais is only 100 years ago. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah also observed him. So, Maulana Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he would go in sajda and he would perform long sajda. So, one day he said to some of his associates that when I put my forehead down in sajda, I don't like to raise it. I don't feel like raising my head away from sajda. I feel like remaining in that posture. So, somebody asked him why. So, he said, because whenever I put my forehead down in sajda, I feel as if I have put my forehead in the lap of my creator, and my creator is stroking my head with his hands. That is the feeling I get. If I and you experience the same feeling, we wouldn't want to get up as well. But let us not make these feelings and these ecstasies our target. Our target and our goal is only one. Love of Allah. We want to love Him and we want Him to love us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. And there is no better time to begin this journey towards the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than this. The month of Ramadan, last 10 days, and we are in the masjid in Etika. Let us begin. Let us make a firm resolution. We can, and inshallah, through the favor of Allah, we will. And inshallah, on the day of Qiyamah, we will all strive now. We will all reach that goal. And on the day of Qiyamah, people will be according to their status. So all of us will be on the higher status. So all of us will be resurrected together as well, inshallah. So we will meet there as well. And if Allah gives me the opportunity, after observing him, to talk about him, I will be honored to talk about him in Jannah as well, inshallah. May Allah give me that opportunity. After observing him, if he gives me the opportunity to talk about him in Jannah, I wish I will be able to do that, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill all our good
wishes and good desires, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us, because it is only through His help we will be able to accomplish our goals. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.